we've managed to catch up with a goalkeeper from Peninsula Power. And goalkeepers always good to talk to because they know their stuff and they're very protective of their patch. And Phil Zabucks is no stranger to mounting a rear guard. He's been a long-time player in the game. Phil, welcome to FNR, Football Nation Radio.
George, thanks for having me. This will be good fun.
Mate, it should be because you've been in the game for what seems, for us, a lifetime. Where did it start?
It started as a junior down in Sydney, in the Sutherland Shire, God's Country, as they call it. I'll take some flack for that. But, didn't really start playing at a decent level till, you know, teenage years, and then worked hard and like everyone should to get to the top, and have thankfully had quite a blessed career with a couple of hurdles along the way.
Were they injuries or were they family commitments and job and things like this that get in the way occasionally?
No, injuries. So back in 2010, I had a brain injury down at New South Wales Premier League, and that put me out of action. So I had emergency brain surgery. I came back that season and played the grand final. Wow. So we wrapped up the premiership with Bonnyrigg that year.
Whoa.
And then 12 months later, I got taken out again and landed on the bridge of my neck. And unfortunately, I decided for a sea change and moved to Brisbane.
So you were playing with the White Eagles. You won premierships with them. They were a powerful side. Some terrific football played in those days. And it was some pretty competitive competition too. How are you physically and how long did it take you to get through what would have been a truly scary time, especially for your family?
Yeah, really scary. I had the easy job. I just went into, I essentially passed out, went to a coma, and then I woke up and I had needles in my arms and back of my head. And yeah, it was a hard process. I lost about 12 kilos, which is a lot for me. But, you know, football was part of the recovery and journey and helped me get back on my feet within, I think, 10 weeks. I was back playing again, which was great, with the support of family, friends, loved ones. The football community rallied behind me, which was fantastic. And, you know, it's helped me along the way since moving to Brisbane. I've, you know, we talk about men's mental health, and I have retired from the game multiple times and come back. And that's just for me to clear my head, because football to me is a sanctuary, and everyone understands that, especially for males, it's great to have that, just that camaraderie to just turn up and be loved.
You know, we've heard that time and time again. Champion men and women in the game who go through terrible times, the only safe space for them is the pitch, is the game, yeah?
Correct.
And also, we must not forget the lure of the game, the lure of the challenge, the lure of the duel. That is something that never leaves us if we're football people. I know that I've been a long time retired and it wasn't what I wanted to do. I'd want to still be playing. But there comes a time when the body says, I can't do it anymore. So how are you feeling? Young, 38 years young, Phil.
Feeling good. You know, getting back into fitness. I think, like you said, George, everyone wants to retire on their terms. That's the goal. But yeah, for some of us, it doesn't happen. Injury takes it, family commitments, job, coaching, politics, unfortunately. You just don't know when your last game is. And thankfully, I've been lucky enough to play in some fantastic games and, you know, achieve some amazing things in my career, which I'm extremely proud of. And I'm not willing to give that up yet. So feeling fit, feeling healthy and training hard, because I know these chances come around almost once in a lifetime. Thankfully, this is my second opportunity playing a round of 32 and against an A-League opposition. So looking forward to the challenge, as most goalkeepers do, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Josh is a commentator, he's a referee, and he's also a football fanatic. And he's got a couple of questions for you as well.
Yeah, Phil, I mean, you mentioned this is your second time around up against an A-League opponent or on the national stage. Tell us about the first time and what have you learned from that experience?
So it was with, back in 2015, we went down to Adelaide for the round of 32 and beat Croydon Kings away. That was fantastic because we got to experience that hostile atmosphere. So we got away with a 2-1 win, and then we played Perth Glory down at Perry Park in the round of 16, and we took them all the way to extra time. The boys still talk about it today. They're like, oh, what if we did this? We could have done that. But that's the beauty of the game, that you get no second chances. So you've just got to throw it all out there. Worry about, you know, no worries, not a care in the world. If you prepare well and you just turn up and you focus for 90 minutes plus, you give it your best shot and, you see what happens.
And coming up against... Coming up against Brisbane next week, I mean, you've had a pretty incredible season with Peninsula Power. So the form seems good. All signs point in the right direction.
Look, we take every game as it comes. I know you can look at the next 90 minutes. So we've got a challenge on the weekend to focus on the NPL and continue to do well there. And then we'll turn our attention to Tuesday night's match against the Roar and, you know, prepare well, do what we need to do, hang out with the boys and get ready for, what hopes to be a David and Goliath battle.
Speaking of Davids and Goliaths, have you been watching some of the international football over the last couple of years?
I have. It depends what game you're talking to specifically.
I'm talking about watching some of the big games and some of the big goalkeepers who have got enormous profiles and still persist in doing some stupid things. Jordan Pickford almost gave a goal away this morning playing against Poland in Poland. And I'm thinking to myself, what part of don't you get that, Jordan? The penny doesn't drop for some keepers. What do you think at that moment? You biting your teeth or you're saying, oh, God?
It's difficult because as a goalkeeper, you make a mistake and it's magnified.
It's total. Yeah, it's over.
Yeah, it is. So it's difficult because I always try and tell the boys that how do you replicate pressure, stress, anxiety in big ticket matches? It's very, very difficult to do. So and sometimes you get complacent, and complacency is a big killer. And that's not just in football, that's just in life. So I think if you're aware of what's ahead of you, you understand what's behind you, and you just focus on the task at hand and you give it your full mental focus. Because for me, what happens on the field stays on the field, and my personal life, I can pick it back up after 90 minutes. I can think I can press pause on all my issues and all my worries for 90 minutes because they're still going to be there at the end.
Penalty shootouts.
Love them. Yeah, why not? Give it to me. Let's go. Let's get to a shootout on Tuesday night.
Oh, great stuff. I love it. Josh?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you about, you know, putting your body on a line as a goalkeeper. Has your approach changed at all since those injuries, or can you not afford to think like that?
That's a very good point. So I try not to think about it. I trust my body. I had a neurologist tell me that I could play again. That's why I wear the headgear, just to stop any sharp knocks.
So it's the Petacek style helmet?
Yeah, the Petacek helmet. Some people say it's to protect other players, but I've never headbutted anyone. So let's just hope I keep that record intact. But it is. It's once I'm on the field, the focus as a goalkeeper, you can't pull out. It's just the number one rule. You've got to go for everything. You can't pull out. You can't be weak. And I think if a striker doesn't want to get involved, they'll pull out themselves. But for me, I think everyone knows that what my commitment gives and what I'll give to the sport. So it's a case of, you know, if you're going to get hit, you're going to get hit, but you do it for the love of the game, and it comes with the territory.
Has your training changed accordingly over the years?
It has. I don't do so much of the heavy body work or the dynamics of diving for a lot of top corners or the rest. I'm very much manage my body and, read the game extremely well, which is exciting. But most of the time, I just want to work on that sharpness, good hands, good feet, understand the movement of the game. It's a quick game. And obviously, the older you get as a goalkeeper, you have to be a little bit smarter because you lose that initial quickness off the mark. Mm. Not by much, but it is a game of centimetres, as we know.
Feet work or footwork should be the premier thing that drives you to wherever you need to go. Because if you're balanced, then you're in a position to make the decisions. And that's the last thing a goalkeeper wants, is to be in a situation where he can't make a decision.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's one of the most underrated skills as a goalkeeper, or not focused on enough, is you've got quick feet, you can step across and catch the ball, and you can dive to the top corners after that.
Yeah. Your not-so-secret weapon at Peninsula Power is that man Andy Pengelly up front, the premier goal poacher, maybe in the country at NPL level. The stats speak for themselves. It's outrageous. What's it like testing yourself against him at training when he's aiming for the bottom corners?
Yeah, we have some colourful words, more so me than him and me. It's good fun. I mean, I haven't played at an NPL level prior to the last season for many, many years. So to step back into it and actually want to get to the best, you've got to test yourself against the best. It's the only way that you can measure yourself. So at training, we've got a great squad all around. But, yeah, Andy up front, for me to stand him and look him down and go, mate, I've got this one, just to G him up and see him get a little bit hot under the collar. Absolutely. Every day of the week, I love to give a little bit of a jab to him. But, he generally comes out on top, let's be honest.
Phil, just before we leave you, your football heroes, your goalkeeping heroes, who were they? And do you still have a favourite right now?
Oh, heroes is a really tough one, George. I think that I've said in a previous interview that if I was to have a hero, I'd actually like to just focus on myself and who I am. And I believe that's just, I believe it just comes down to understanding who I am, where I've been, that my hard work has come from commitment, dedication, support of family and friends, and that I've got to the level I've got to, not through handouts, which does happen in football. And unfortunately, for my deck, it wasn't stacked that way, but it's no excuse to not get me to where I've been today. So, yeah, I look at people like the Buffons of the world and the Schmeichels and, you know, their resilience and dedication to the sport at the age they play. It's phenomenal. Like, it really is. As an athlete, Roger Federer, I think he's extremely calm and well-mannered, and I've tried to replicate that in my career, that if I win or lose, I still will congratulate the other team and congratulate the players regardless of the situation. So stay very, very level-headed, but then you also get that controlled aggression on the field that I'm still here to win. I love winning trophies. I'm extremely selfish that way. And, yeah, there's a limited time frame on it, so why not?
If you look around the world, the great players who have survived and who've made quite a substantial career, the thing that they never forget about and will always tell you that they want to the very end, to be as selfish as possible, to keep winning. Derek Jeter, the famous shortstop for the New York Yankees, who's in the Hall of Fame, said that's the thing he wanted to be, the most selfish player, to keep winning, and Michael Jordan alongside him. So you're in good company. Keep winning, keep firing to be the best, and that's a great driver, fantastic driver. And already for your next game, I like the fact that you want to take it to extra time and, in fact, penalty shootout. Mate, I'll be watching the stream.
I'd love to score the winner. So we'll see. Oh,
do you take penalties?
I've taken them before, yes, and I do back myself.
Nice.
It's all up here.
Yeah, Josh is listening now. This is good.
I love a goalkeeper taking penalties. Do you have the license to go forward for a corner if it demands in the last minute of a game?
I don't know if I've got the license to do it, but I'll make that executive decision myself.
No. He can't head the ball. No.
He's there for the top of the box for the volley, George.
Of course. All right. Phil, it's been a lot of fun, my friend, catching up. We'd love to hear more from what the NPL is doing in Queensland. And in fact, one of the things at FNR we do each and every week on State of Our Football Nation, or as we call it, SUFN, we talk about the game in WA, in Queensland and in South Australia, because that's the only place they're playing at the moment, and of course in Tassie. It's been a huge shock for all those volunteers, those club men and women in New South Wales and Victoria who have had to sit there and wait and then wait and wait and finally find out that their seasons were cancelled. You're still fighting. You're still playing. We wish you every success.
Thank you.